Good morning, church. I'm glad that we are together today. I hope that you have a Bible with you. We're going to be looking at the scriptures together this morning. And my heart is to encourage you from the Word of God with a lesson that's full of optimism and challenge. A lesson that I'm calling, This Is Your Time. And I found both optimism and challenge as I was reading again the book of Esther this week. And I hope that you'll turn with me in your Bible to the book of Esther. Why was it that I was looking at the scriptures for some optimism and for a little challenge? Well, probably because of the week that we've had here in this country and society and all the different headlines coming across my screen. I have to tell you that I subscribe to a variety of really religious themed and faith-based news services and podcasts and blogs. And these were the headlines that I was getting all week. This was all this week's headlines. In deadliest week so far, U.S. loses more than 18,400 lives to COVID-19. Is anxiety the new normal in 2021? Praying amen and a woman. Political correctness strikes again. When do you change your sermon in light of breaking news? But maybe my favorite was this. Our nation is a mess. What does the Bible say? These were the faith-based news outlets. These were all the stories of this week that came across my screen. And so where do you go in the Bible when it appears that the world is out of control? Or maybe it appears that wickedness or evil is in control and God is unseen. Answer? You go to the book of Esther. You look at the book of Esther. It's interesting to go to this book of the Bible and find the word king appears almost 100 times. That the king in the book of Esther, his name is Ahasuerus, his name appears almost 30 times. And God is named 0 times. Esther's the only book in the Bible that does not use the word God, not even once. He's unseen. Where's God? And there's lots of laws getting enacted, lots of rules going down. We're told, it would seem, that the king is running everything. The message is made in Esther that the decree of the king cannot be broken. And yet as the story unfolds, we see that it is God's will providentially accomplished to save his people and deliver them from destruction. Yes, though he is unseen, God is in control. I love the book of Esther. I wonder if you've read it recently. If not, it opens at the place of a feast. This Persian king Ahasuerus is having a great feast, and he's invited all the important people of his kingdom to come to his throne room. And after all of this eating and drinking, he decides there needs to be a little bit of entertainment. And so he invites his wife Vashti, who has been his queen there in the kingdom for 3 years, to come and to show off her beauty to his guests. I don't know what all that meant, but I'll tell you folks, she didn't do it. Vashti would not go. And because of the embarrassment and insult this caused to King Ahasuerus, a decree was made that she is banished. She is no longer queen, and we're going to go looking for a new queen. That's when we're introduced to Mordecai. He's a Jew, one of God's chosen Old Testament people who is working in the Persian kingdom. He's some type of a statesman. And he had made a choice to raise his orphaned niece, Esther, as his own daughter. We're told that she's bright and that she is beautiful. And surely she is sent into this contest, into this work of a year of education, of beautifying processes, so that she might have one night with the king, one night with King Ahasuerus, to make such an impression upon him that he would call her by name and make her his queen. Of course, she's against all the other beautiful young women of Persia. But don't you know that against all odds, it happens. She is named the wife and the new queen. Now, Mordecai had been telling her all along, you need to be very careful. Don't tell anyone you're related to me. Don't tell anyone that you're a Jew. Now, here she is, the new queen of Persia. There's a great feast and a wedding for her. And even though it's a time of celebration in the kingdom of Persia, there's some of the people that work with King Ahasuerus who aren't very happy about the way he's running things. And so they put together a plot to assassinate him. Mordecai uncovers this message. He makes it known. The king's life is spared and life goes on. for about 5 years. There's a 5-year gap between chapter 2 and chapter 3 of the book of Esther. And in those 5 years, a new Persian official has come to the top. His name is Haman. And this man is known because he absolutely hates Mordecai. Not just hates Mordecai, but hates all the Jews. Because he's learned that there is a people who will not bow down and worship him. They only bow down and worship God. Haman is so angry about this that he talks the king into making a decree. We should choose a day and kill all of the Jews in the entire empire. That's what we ought to do. And I'll pay you 10,000 talents of silver if you'll let me do it. King Ahasuerus says, well, this sounds like a fine idea. So they cast lots to choose a day when they should kill all the Jews in their empire. And the lot falls about a year off in the distance. Well, when Mordecai learns of the decree that a day has been chosen to kill all of the Jews in the empire, he seeks out Esther and he asks her to help. That was our scripture reading this morning that Brother David did so well, that episode. And at first she is very hesitant to speak up to the king and say anything. She says, you know, we've been married for 5 years now. We're not newlyweds anymore. And in fact, I've not seen him and spoken to him for a month. And even there's even a rule that nobody can go just talk to the king. If you show up at his chamber, he's got to point his scepter at you to come in and talk. And if he doesn't, they'll just haul you off and kill you. Here's how Mordecai encourages her in Esther chapter 4 and verse 13. Do not think in your heart that you will escape in the king's palace any more than all the other Jews. For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place, but you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Well, Esther goes to the king. And he points his scepter toward her. He's so glad to see her. In fact, he says, I'm happy to see you. I'd like to give you a gift. I'll give you anything you want, up to half of my kingdom. Well, this is going well. What does she ask? She says, I'd really like it if you would come to my chambers for a private banquet tomorrow night. You and your leading man, Haman, just the two of you, let's have a banquet. They go to the banquet. That goes very well. The king repeats himself, I'll give you anything you want, up to half of my kingdom. To which Esther says, if you really will give me anything I want, then come tomorrow night to my house for another banquet. Bring Haman with you, and I'll tell you what I want then. That sounds great. Haman's so thrilled at this. Not one banquet, but two with the king and queen. He knows that he is unstoppable. So he goes right home, and what's he do? He builds a gallows because he's decided he's going to hang Mordecai on his own property. He can't be stopped. In the meantime, the king has trouble sleeping that night. Have you ever had trouble sleeping after a big, beautiful meal? Yeah, me either. I usually go right to sleep. But this king can't sleep. So what does he do? He decides to read history. And in reading the history of his own people, he realizes, 5 years ago, a man named Mordecai saved my life. I should do something to honor this man. Well, apparently it's the early hours of the morning, and Haman comes in just as happy as he can be. And the king asks, well, what should you do? What should a king do if he really wants to honor somebody? And Haman is so vain. Haman thinks, well, he's got to be talking about me. Who else would he want to honor? And he lays it on thick, folks. Give him a parade. Give him some clothes. Have people yell wonderful things about him in the roads. And the king says, that is great, Haman. I want you to do that. I want you to do that for Mordecai. And now Haman finds himself marching through the streets, shouting good things about Mordecai, parading him around. This man that he hates and he wants to hang, he has to say wonderful things about him. He goes home and he tells his family the things that happened. And his wife warns him, I don't think things are going to go the way you think with Mordecai. I don't think he can be resisted. We're not really sure what Haman would say to that because messengers come and say it's time to go to the banquet tonight. And at the second banquet, Esther reveals, she is a Jewess. Haman has a plot to kill her and all of her people. This is my request, O king, my life and the life of my people. King Ahasuerus is so infuriated to find out that Haman would try to kill his queen and all of her people. He actually orders Haman to be hanged on the gallows he intended for Mordecai. And then Esther and the king and Mordecai, they draft a new law, a new unbreakable decree, that the day which was appointed for the Jews to die, no, that's the day that the Jews will rally and defend themselves, and they will have victory over all of their enemies. And the Jewish Feast of Purim is established to commemorate all of these events. The Jewish Feast of Purim still goes on today. Oh, that's a great story. And on the one hand, God isn't named in the book. On the other hand, God is on every page. And he's working, and he's working in his time. And when you think about it, God had placed the deliverer of his people on the throne, the queen on the throne, 5 years before the threat of Haman even came up. God was providing, but the question was, would Esther be faithful and courageous at such a time of this, as this? Well, of course she is. And friends, I'm reminded that even when we can't see God, he never leaves us. He never forsakes us. And brethren, I'm reminded that we have come to the kingdom. We've come to the kingdom of Christ for such a time as this. That this is your time. And Christian, in God's plan and providence for these troubling times, you are where you need to be. And the question is, will you be faithful and courageous at this time? And I want to encourage you to do that. Again, this is your time. There is optimism here, but there is challenge here. There's a single verse in the New Testament, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 16. It tells us two incredible truths about the world in which we live. Number one, the days are evil. Number two, redeem the time. Don't fear it. Don't grumble about it. Make an impact for your king. And what struck me as I was reading through the book of Esther this time, upon reading it, is how there were multiple hard times. There were multiple difficult situations that had been redeemed by this family, by Mordecai, by Esther, before we ever get to Haman's decree. And I want to walk through a few of these with you this morning. I want to walk through the book of Esther and show you and encourage you, this is your time. And you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Now turn with me in your Bible to Esther chapter 2. And I want to show you the first one here. In Esther chapter 2, and verse number 7, we see that this is your time. And you have come to the kingdom. You have come to your family for this time to raise your family. To raise your family. In Esther 2, verse 7, we read, "And Mordecai had brought up Hadassah," that is Esther, "his uncle's daughter, for she had neither father nor mother. The young woman was lovely and beautiful. When her father and mother died, Mordecai took her as his own daughter." Mordecai raised Esther. He raised this orphan in his family. Now, let that sink in. What will happen to this little orphan girl, Esther? No father, no mother, in a foreign land. Will she be enslaved or worse? Will she be left to the streets? No. It is a difficult time, a difficult situation, but Mordecai rises to it. He's going to take her in and he's going to raise her. It's the right thing to do. And I'll tell you, at this point, there's no thought of a queen, Esther. That's not in the card, surely. But he's going to raise this daughter, raise this girl as his own daughter. I want you to see how, though, for almost a moment, there may not have been a Queen Esther. Except Mordecai said, for this time, I'm here. And I'm going to raise this little girl. And parents, I want to encourage you this morning in this, that yes, these are bewildering times, but this is the time that you have to raise your kids and appreciate the children you have in your life. This is their childhood today. And God has blessed you with children. And he has placed them in your care for such a time as this. This is your time. I want you to take courage in the words of Scripture, particularly directed toward parents. Like Psalm 127 and verse 3. Old children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. And why I bring that to your attention is that that Scripture is true in good times and hard times. You have been blessed with these children. This is their childhood, but this is your time to raise them, to raise them. This is your time. Or Proverbs 22 and verse 6, "Train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he will not depart from it. This is your time. Redeem this time. Or even in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4 from the New Testament. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord. And yet God has many more words for parents. This isn't really a sermon about parenting at all. It is just a word of encouragement. This is your time. These are your kids. And this is all in God's way. And who knows who your son or who your daughter might grow up to be. Redeem this time now. And we're going to stay in chapter 2, but I'm going to cheat a little bit and go to chapter 4. And Esther 4, because I want you to see how Esther is so concerned with Mordecai. In Esther 4 and verse number 1, Mordecai learns all that has happened. And what does he do? He tore his clothes, put on sackcloth and ashes. He goes out into the midst of the city. He cried out with a loud and a bitter cry. He went as far as the front of the king's gate, for no one might enter the king's gate clothed with sackcloth. And in every province where the king's command and decree had arrived, there was great mourning among the Jews, with fasting, with weeping, with wailing. Many lay in sackcloth and ashes. Esther doesn't seem to know about any of this, but she sees Mordecai. Verse 4. So Esther's maids and eunuchs came and told her, and the queen was deeply distressed. She sent garments to clothe Mordecai and take his sackcloth away from him, but he would not accept them. Here she's been queen for 5 years and tables are turned a little bit. She's the one in position and power when suddenly Mordecai appears and he is wretched in sackcloth and wailing. And Esther doesn't handle the story yet, but what she sees is this man who raised her in a terrible state. And she cares for him. She is moved by this. Her reaction is to send clothes. I want to relieve the pain. I want to relieve the distress. Now, she doesn't appreciate yet that what Mordecai really needs is for her to go and talk to the king. But I want you to see her heart. She wants to relieve all the needs of her father. And Christians, we need to learn to be mindful of our family members and the aged family members, and especially in difficult times. If God has blessed your parents with longer life and they're here and they're in your care, you're here for such a time as this. To be here for them at this time and in this season. In 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 4, the New Testament Christians are taught, if any widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show piety at home and to repay their parents. You are the social security for your parents, brethren. Take care of your parents. And I think especially in difficult times like this, we must be mindful of this challenge, but understand we've been placed here to do it. You may not like doing FaceTime calls or Zoom calls or Skype calls with some of these aged loved ones, but it means so much to them. They need to see you. They need the connection. If they're aged, if they're shut in, maybe if they're just lonely. It's remarkable to me how Mordecai and Esther are separated by various channels. She can kind of see him out a window, but they don't get to talk face to face anymore. They're working through messengers. Eunuchs, how important it is that they stay in touch. Connection with family is so vital in times like these. I want you to think about your family, whether it's your children, whether it's others. How can you build them up this week? I'm going to tell you, you are here for such a time as this, to raise your family. Go back with me to Esther chapter 2. I want you to see how in another difficult situation, time is redeemed. And this is your time to learn. This is your time to learn. I'm looking at Esther 2 and verse number 8. Esther 2 and verse number 8. So it was when the king commanded, the decree was heard, and when many young women were gathered at Shushan, the citadel, under the custody of Hegai, Esther also was taken to the king's palace, and into the care of Hegai, the custodian of the women. Now the young woman pleased him, and she obtained his favor. So he readily gave beauty preparations to her besides her allowance. Then 7 choice maidservants were provided for her from the king's palace, and he moved her and her maidservants to the best place in the house of the women. Now, it is unclear to me how much of this episode is Esther volunteers versus Esther is voluntold, along with all the other beautiful women in Persia. You need to go to the palace and present yourself for this, you know, next top queen contest. But going to this season reminds us of, say, a Daniel who found favor in the workers, or a Joseph who found favor in the eyes of Potiphar and in the eyes of the workers of the prison, because God was with them and God was advancing them. We don't see the word God here, but we see the same kind of thing happen. God is with her. She is finding favor. But here's what I want you to appreciate. These are very difficult times for Esther. She's going to spend a year now in this education and this preparation. And I may not know all that entails, but I'll tell you this. For a year, she's going to be isolated. She's not going to be around God's people. And whatever it is they're teaching her, they're not teaching her God's ways. That's not who's running this queen contest. All right? But what does Esther do? Esther is humble in this time and season and willing to listen to the advice of a Mordecai, who says, you know, and don't tell her about you're related to me, and let's keep that quiet. She's willing to listen to the advice of Hegai. In chapter 2 and verse 15, chapter 2 and verse 15, now when the turn came for Esther, the daughter of Abihail, the uncle of Mordecai, who had taken her as his daughter to go into the king, she requested nothing but what Hegai, the king's eunuch, the custodian of the women, advised. And Esther obtained favor in the sight of all who saw her. She was humble to seek and to listen to good counsel. And in a year of education and in preparation, she was making the most of her time today for the sake of tomorrow. And what a powerful lesson that is for us. How we learn and grow today serves us in the future, prepares us for the future, but we must be humble enough to admit, I need to learn something today. We must be humble enough to admit, I can listen and I can grow. And particularly to seek out and take the advice and instruction from older people, wiser people in our lives, maybe our parents, but those who love us and care about our best interests, the people who want to see us succeed. I got some fantastic advice when I first started preaching. This has been a number of years ago. But the advice was this. Work hard today, study today, because you are preparing today for sermons and classes that you're going to teach 5 years from now. I found that to be absolutely true. And if I could build the bridge, I believe with all my heart that you are learning and you are growing and you're preparing today for opportunities or for challenges, for situations or for projects that are going to present themselves 5 years down the road. And one of the reasons why I say that is because we actually see in the book of Esther this 5-year gap from when she's named the queen to when this challenge with Haman and that decree comes up. But she was doing right things today and redeeming time today to be prepared for whatever the future might hold. And when you think about good, godly counsel and wisdom that will build you up and make you ready for whatever tomorrow might bring, I must recommend to you the Word of God and reading your Bible. I must recommend to you the Scriptures. In Psalm 119, it's a very long psalm, I'm not going to read all of it, but I'm going to share with you verses 97 through 104. And I want you to appreciate how God's Word is teaching us, molding us, and preparing us for whatever might be coming tomorrow. Psalm 119, verse number 97. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. You, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies, for they're ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep your precepts. I restrain my feet from evil every way, that I may keep your word. I have not determined from your I have not departed from your judgments, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding, and therefore I hate every false way. This is your time, Christian, to be in the Word of God, that it might nourish your soul today, but that He is making you wise for tomorrow. And I want to encourage especially the youth today, because we have so many in this congregation. Let me just say this. Here's my little aside to you. So many wonderful, bright, smart children. And I love working with you every chance I get. That however you are pursuing your schooling right now, however it is you're pursuing your education right now, because they're very, very difficult times to do it, please stick with it. Please keep working hard and learning today, because it is preparing you today for what tomorrow might hold. This is your time to learn. As we go on in Esther, I see a third time that was redeemed. And that was a time to honor authority and honor authorities. At the end of chapter 2 of the book of Esther, Esther 2 and verse 21, we get this quiet little episode that becomes so important, 5 years later. In Esther chapter 2 and verse 21, the scripture says this. In those days, while Mordecai sat within the king's gate, two of the king's eunuchs, Bigthan and Teresh, doorkeepers, became furious and sought to lay hands on King Ahasuerus. So the matter became known to Mordecai, who told Queen Esther, and Esther informed the king in Mordecai's name. And when an inquiry was made into the matter, it was confirmed, and both were hanged on the gallows. And it was written in the book of the Chronicles in the presence of the king. What do we read there? That Mordecai took an opportunity, redeemed a time, to report a plot he had uncovered to save the king. Now, he might have been tempted to hold his tongue and not gotten involved. I'll just keep my hands out of this. Or he might have been scared. If I speak up to uncover all this, what if these bad actors come after me? What if there's a plot for me? But at this time, he had come to the kingdom for this time to do the right thing and honor his authority. He didn't do it for recognition or to get a parade. I mean, this was all forgotten about for years and years and years. But he was faithful. I'm going to tell you that we've come to a unique time, brethren. And it is a time for Christians to remember we honor authorities. In the New Testament, in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 13, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 13. Christians are taught, therefore submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors, as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good, you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. See how Mordecai actually did that? He did good. Even though people are going to be hating him afterwards. Verse 16. As free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. It's a unique time in history and government where Christians in this country can vote on their leaders. Which means that sometimes brethren are very pleased at elections. And other times, they're very disappointed about it. I want you to see in the book of Esther, Mordecai didn't vote for Ahasuerus. I want you to read in the New Testament that Peter and Paul didn't vote for Nero. Now, we are citizens of a kingdom as Christians, which cannot be shaken. And our king is Jesus, and none of us actually voted for him either. The Bible says what it says about the Christian in government. Whether it's your party or not your party, whether it's your candidate or not your candidate, this is your time as Christians in a society, in this society, to obey the word of God and redeem this time. Which means, pray for leaders. That's what we're taught to do. You may not have liked the last administration, it's hard for you to pray for the leaders. You may not like a new administration, it'd be hard for you to pray for the leaders. You may not have liked administrations for the last 50 years, and you've always had struggle praying for the leaders. I don't know. But I know that we are supposed to be praying for our leaders. We're taught in the scripture to obey the laws of our land. You say, well, I don't think all the laws are fair. The laws aren't the ones that I want them to be. The answer in the word of God is not break laws. That's not the answer. Obey the laws. Respect authorities as coming from God. And Romans 13 verses 6 and 7, pay your taxes. I know how I'll show my protest against whatever's going on in the country around me. I just won't pay my taxes. Not Christians. That's not what Christians do. This is our time. You have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. This is your time. In our society and in our country, to honor your King Jesus, to love God, and to love your neighbor. And I'll tell you that those things are in short supply in the country around us right now. And so let it start with us to love God and love our neighbor. In the book of Esther in chapter 3, we see that there is a time given to practice your faith. A time given to practice your faith. In Esther chapter 3 and verse number 1. After these things, King Ahasuerus promoted Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, advanced him and set his seat above all the princes who were with him. And all the king's servants who were within the king's gate bowed and paid homage to Haman, for so the king commanded concerning him. But Mordecai would not bow or pay homage. And then the king's servants who were within the king's gate said to Mordecai, "Why do you transgress the king's command?" Now it happened when they spoke to him daily that he would not listen to them. They told it to Haman to see whether Mordecai's words would stand, for Mordecai had told them he was a Jew. See, what Mordecai refuses to do there is bow and worship a man, bow and pay homage to a man, because he's a Jew, and they don't do that. They don't bow and worship anything except for God Almighty. And honestly, that's a very good thing for Christians to learn as well. Our God is who we bow and worship to. We don't bow and worship to any men. I think you see when Peter and other apostles corrected those that we don't accept worship from men either. And yet it creates all of this hatred here, a very difficult situation, doesn't it? It's because of this that Haman says, there's a whole people that won't bow down to me. Then let's kill all these people. The Jewish people. Wow. Does that mean that Mordecai shouldn't have kept his faith? Should he have bowed down to Haman? Should he have paid homage? No. No. If Mordecai had bowed down, perhaps this plan to harm all the Jews, it wouldn't have been hatched. On the other hand, this is the day that God delivers all the Jews from their enemies, so this day needed to come about. I want you to appreciate this is a very difficult time for Mordecai. And yet it's a time he redeems to practice his faith. And Christians, this is a time to redeem, to practice our faith. Ours is an evangelizing faith. We have good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That here in this New Testament gospel is forgiveness of sins and new life, the promise of everlasting life, the fellowship with God and His people. It's a wonderful message. It truly is good news. That we are to carry to every creature and all around the world, and people are invited to respond to it, to believe this gospel, and be baptized to be saved. We want to share that message. And this is such an important time to be declaring that message and teaching it to others because of difficult times. I got a new commentary from Christmas, and I want to prove I'm using it. I wouldn't agree with everything this fellow wrote, but it's a great statement here, and I put it in your notes. Don't you see that God has placed you in this situation at this time in history so that you can have a tremendous kingdom impact? The Church of Jesus Christ is called to accomplish kingdom purposes. If a local church is not winning the lost to Christ and discipling them in the faith so that they can have a heavenly influence on earth, it has failed in its calling. You've been called to God's kingdom for such a time as this. Whose agenda will you follow? That is fantastic. And I want to remind us that we are about the gospel in this church. And in tough times, people are looking for it and they need it. We're a church that honors God, that learns from God, that loves like God, and leads other people to God, all while abiding in God's word. This is the time to practice our faith. It's the time to do it, church. Finally, this morning, I want to point out to you from the book of Esther, number 5, that this is your time to acknowledge indeed, the importance of others. As we get now into chapter 4, where our scripture reading was, Mordecai needs Esther. You see it in verse 8, verses 13 and 14. You're the one. You've come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Go and speak to the king. He needs her. And notice who Esther needs. Verse 15. Esther told them to reply to Mordecai, "Go gather all the Jews who are present in Shushan and fast for me. Neither eat nor drink for 3 days, night or day. My maids and I will fast likewise. And so I will go to the king, which is against the law. And if I perish, I perish." She's mustered her courage. She's going to go to the king. But what does she want? She wants all of the Jews in all the city to be fasting for her. All of these people. And her own handmaids to be fasting for her. Now, most times in the Bible, fasting is coupled with prayer. That's not specifically said in this instance. You wouldn't be surprised if they were praying. But I think the point would be the same, that here is an act of invocation and a pleading to God that something big is about to happen, and we want God with us. Esther was not alone. Mordecai was not alone. And our need for one another in difficult times, okay, is so evident. It's so evident. And we're taught it again and again in the scriptures. These are the times. These are the times to pray for brethren. We are supposed to pray for one another. In Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2, absolutely we are. And so we share our prayer requests and we share our needs, what we're going through. We're not doing this alone. And I need you and I need your prayers and I need your support. And it is a grace to me every time that you pray for me and I hear that or I learn about that. But the truth is that others need our prayers. So I want to encourage you to pick up one of the prayer lists and pay attention to the emails when they go through. Redeem that time. Pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ. It's so important. This is the time to edify and to encourage one another, as we're taught to do. Difficult times is when we need our brethren to drop that text our way or send that card or give that call. Remind us about a verse in the day. Bring us back to the Word of God and that truly He is in control. In times when it seems like He's far, He's unseen. Difficult times are the time to weep and rejoice with one another. People have terrible tragedies. People have wonderful celebrations. It can all happen in the same week, in the same congregation. But as a family of God, we are there to hold hands and be with Him and share in that. This is your time to love one another. I want to go back to 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 7. Because while it teaches us to love one another, it really puts handles on what that looks like. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 7, we're to be serious and watchful in our prayers. Verse 8 says, "And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom being the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." A love for one another and a service and activity for one another. This is the time, redeem this time, to acknowledge the importance of one another and to be there for one another. This is your time. Esther knew, when we read in chapter 4, it was a life and death situation for her and for her people. And she says, "If I perish, I perish." I want to encourage you, brethren, that this is your time. You may be aware of some things going on in your life and in your situation that are huge, significant moments. You might be there this morning. And yet, as hard as it might be, as unseen as God might appear, we see that God was always near Mordecai and Esther. God is always near His people. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. And Esther made good, godly choices to redeem many situations, many moments, many difficult times, even before this one that the book's so famous for. Now, I don't know if next week's headlines will be any better than this week's headlines. But I know that you and I have come to this time to redeem it. I know that you and I have come to Christ and to His kingdom for this time. I know that this is your time. And I hope this little look at Esther this morning fills you with some optimism as well as some challenge of what I can be doing with my time this week for the glory of God. And it really makes a difference today. It really makes a difference for whatever's coming next. Thank you so much for your good attention. If you want to put your Bibles away, put your notes away. Brother Black's going to come and lead us in another song. A song of encouragement. You've come to the kingdom for such a time as this, and this is your time. And perhaps the question that I'll just end on is, have you come to the kingdom of Christ? Have you come into His family and to His church by being obedient to the gospel? That this is a special moment, an opportunity for you to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, turn from sin in your life and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. This is a special moment to respond in faith and obedience to His sacrifice upon the cross for you. This is a special moment that the gates of the kingdom are open wide and you are invited in to come into His kingdom. It's the time for that. So if we can help you this morning to become a Christian and come to His kingdom, if we can pray for you, to lift you up and encourage you that you might redeem the time and the day set before you this week, whatever that spiritual need might be, we invite you to come forward and make it known now. Together we stand and sing. Won't you come?